The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, The Haley You Haven't Heard, The Aries Sun, Gemini Rising, Capricorn Moon, Entertainer, Isn't Who You Think She Is, and She's Not Trying to Be. Make sure you never interrupt your work ethic is a lesson she says she learned from them. My business and my work life are the priority because at the end of the day, I want my family and my future children to have a beautiful life. Love is great and love feels wonderful, but never neglect your work. To be clear, working for the rest of her life is not Haley's end goal. I want to have like 10 babies and go live on a farm and have a great house, she says. I want to grow my own food and have an oasis away from the world where my family and I go and have a great time. But before that, she wants Grammys, Oscars, and everything in between. My first love is music, she says. When asked if she prefers acting or singing, that's where I feel my most free. But it's really been a beautiful experience with acting as well. Haley's headstrong nature extends to her style choices, which have included everything from the pink sequined Rod Attar mini she wore at the Met Gala to posing in Burberry for the gram. My personal style is a little bit of all the things that I love, she explains. That's from boho to super elevated and chic. It's whatever I feel good in. Making her feel extra good these days is embracing what she calls her woman body, a rite of passage for black girls as they settle into their early 20s. Finally, I'm 22 years old and some of the weight is sticking and I'm happy about it, she says gleefully. Chloe has the booty and I'm getting some cleavage. After Haley captioned her Essence Festival of Culture performance post with the phrase, bad blank vibes, some people wonder what style silhouettes have been speaking to the star and her new body as of late. Dresses that are snatched, she responds, specifically referencing her 2022 BET Awards outfit, a black monot two-piece set with cutoffs at the hips. And while the labels placed on her and her sister often seem to be intentionally juxtaposed, when Haley describes Chloe as courageous, sexy, and confident in herself, she makes it a point to note that she embodies those same characteristics herself. Maybe I'm just not as forward with all of it yet, she reflects, but I'm the same way. People will say negative things about her, and then they also say things about me. They comment on whatever we do regardless. We can't please everyone. Fortunately, the approval of others seems to matter less than ever to Haley. She's focused on protecting her peace and maintaining a strong sense of self within an industry that typically fails to foster either. I've managed to find individuality through God, through talking to God every day by prayer, by meditation, and through music, she explains. I think finding myself is going to be an everlasting journey. And while I feel like I know myself at 22, I'm constantly getting to know more about who I am. While you might imagine that finding inner peace and acceptance of self could be hard for someone you watch on the big screen, hear on the radio, and see the internet constantly buzzing about, Haley's life isn't nearly as chaotic as all that. To sum it up, she says, I just sit in my apartment with my cat, listening to Billie Holiday and saying my prayers. The next article is titled, The Rebirth of Slick. Model Slick Woods is a force in the fashion industry. For her next act, she's taking on television. Slick Woods' coolness is bone deep. She's in possession of hard-earned wisdom and cozy glam fits that don't seek acceptance. Meanwhile, we all approve and hope she tags the designers on Instagram. She's 5'10", has a glorious gap-tooth smile, and doesn't want to do anything but be herself. Woods has strutted down runways in Fendi and Helmut Leg. She acts, too. In July 2022, Freeform announced that the 26-year-old would appear in Season 5 of Grown-ish. She also starred in the 2019 film Goldie. Woods was raised by her grandmother after her mother was imprisoned when she was 4. Years later, as a homeless 19-year-old in Los Angeles, she was discovered at a bus stop by model Ash Steinmetz, who introduced her to his agents. She never slept on the streets again. She soon became associated with Rihanna, whom she calls Rob, short for Robin, the singer's first name. With the superstar first tapping Woods for her Fenty times Puma collaboration. Incredibly, Woods was in labor with her son, Sapphire, when she walked for Rihanna's premier Savage times Fenty show in 2018. All that to say, Slick Woods is among the baddest, and you better know it. Essence asks the question, can you talk about the audition process for Grown-ish? Slick Woods responded, well, I'm going to be completely 100 with you. I'm not the best at audition tapes because I feel like they're awkward, but I sort of made it really easy and so did the cast. Just being able to play myself was the best part of it. I get really uncomfortable when I have to do things out of my element when I'm not myself. I feel uncomfortable. So it was just great the way they incorporated my feelings in how I dressed. Everything was very copacetic. Doing a sitcom, you're going to be doing the little punchlines and everything. But they let me do me, and I love that about that team. Essence asks the question, I think it's so important to bring that authenticity to whatever you do. So I'm really glad they allowed you to bring your full self to the role. How did you feel when you got word that you'd landed it? Woods responded, I thought somebody was punking me, or I thought Africa Johnson, Woods' manager, got the wrong email. I've known Justine Syke for years. I've known Trevor Jackson for years. So it was cool being with friends. I've known Luca for years, even though he wasn't in the show. It was just cool being around people I already knew. I wasn't being judged on top of being judged. You know what I'm saying? It was just perfect. Essence also asked, you said that you have pre-existing relationships with actors Justine Syke and Trevor Jackson. Did you take any pointers from them? Woods responded, I didn't really have to ask for any pointers because my character is not only named Slick, it actually is me. They gave me the leeway to switch things up and just kind of, what's the right way to say this? They let me be me. I can't even say it any other way. They're just like, okay, this is our research. This is how we see you. But how do you see yourself? We kind of met in the middle of that and then got to move forward. Essence also asked the question, are there any similarities between modeling and acting? Woods said, well, the way I model is, I always dress myself. A stylist will put 100 million things in front of me, and I'll just pick what I want. And if I'm not wearing that, I'm leaving. So then I would put on that character in my head because I watch a lot of anime. I'm probably boring you. Essence said, not at all. Woods responded, modeling and acting are both really about putting the character on in my head. It's not really what I want in the scene. It's what I just feel. When it comes to modeling and acting on a cross path, I'm not really that good of an actor. I would say I'm more like I make the character into something I'm comfortable with. It's probably my less strong suit when I should just be doing what people are telling me to do. But I just feel like it's just less rough for everyone if I'm being myself in this situation. You know what I'm saying? For everybody. Because I'm going to complain if I don't feel comfortable. Not being myself just really makes my skin split because it took so long to be myself in the first place. Essence asked the question, how long did it take to film Goldie? She responded, it was about 30 days. Essence said, oh wow. Woods also responded by saying, but our turnaround was only like, I would say, 4 to 5 hours. And we were in Poughkeepsie shooting most of it. Some of it was in the Bronx, but just coming all the way back to Bushwick and then turning around. That was around the time when people were playing the Pokemon app game. So there were people just running around trying to catch Pokemon. I had a really strong mentor. I quit the movie about 40 times a day. One of the main people that helped me through it, she made sure that she came whenever they called her to make me go back to shooting a movie. Also, I'd never really been around kids that often before that. That was kind of hard. And then just reliving a lot of my past traumas was difficult. And I kind of tend to run away from things when that happens. So I definitely hurt a lot of people's feelings on that movie, but I wanted to get it right. Because I watched my mom get arrested and I didn't want to represent that part of my life in a certain way. I wanted to do it exactly how I wanted to do it and I wanted to do it well. I wasn't acting in that part. Essence asked the question, how did you heal after having to uncover and relive so much trauma? Woods responded, do we ever really heal or do we just roll over in some more flower and fry ourselves over again? I don't think we ever really heal. Instead, we evolve, we adjust, we change. All I do for me to heal is be vulnerable. Just to cry when I got to cry, yell when I got to yell. The rain pours. I am the first to feel the rain. I'm vulnerable down to my appearance, and I can't really hide. And I'm a crybaby. You cry in the shower just to push through the day for the crap you're not even sad about. Just to cry. You got to get that out. Essence responded, yes, you do. Woods then said, cry because you can't save the world, because you can't do this, because you can't heal orphans, you can't save abused animals. What am I going to do? I'm going to just cry in the morning real quick and then get it out of the way. Essence asked, what has modeling taught you? Woods responded, modeling taught me that keeping your mouth closed will get you in deep crap. When you talk, when you verbalize, when you let people know what you want and when you want it, that's what you have to do. Closed mouths don't get fed. I learned after already being humble, forget it. I'm confident now. Forget it. I'm going to say, with humility and even being broke or cocky with the checkbook, what you want. You know what I'm saying? The power of intention. Essence asked the question, as Black women, we're taught that we have to be quiet about our needs and accomplishments. It often leads to us being shut out of opportunities that we deserve or not getting what we need from an opportunity. So that's a necessary perspective that you actually have to speak up. Being humble is almost a luxury. Woods responded, I see all these young girls and they sit there and they take it. they take it. And sometimes it gets on your nerves to the point where you got to tap one of these young girls and be like, hey, tell them no. No, you don't want to take off all your clothes. Tell them, I see how uncomfortable you are. I'll take off all my clothes because I don't care. But if I see a 15-year-old girl from Russia and she's sitting there, and trust and believe there are black girls from Russia, and they sit there and they just take it because they're 15, they don't know how to speak up. You got to say, hey, it's okay to speak your mind. It's all right. You're not going anywhere. They already booked you. Tell them how you feel. It might be as simple as just to let them put on a shirt or something. Like, you ain't got to take all that. Essence asks the question, what are your aspirations for your acting career? Woods responded, I will do the job on my time, but I will do it. I am kind, but I won't take no crap. And I try my best not to give them no crap. And I just want everybody's day to feel like they're not at work, because production works really hard. We remember birthdays, we remember names. We try to be there for them when we can, because I know they woke up 4 hours earlier than I did to build the set to do this. You got to remember everybody's likes, dislikes, and just be there for them. Just because I'm an actor doesn't mean they are less than me. I want to continue that, because sometimes I'll lose my wig and that's somebody's whole job at stake. Just because I got mad at something doesn't mean that they should lose the job. Just being more thoughtful would be something that I aspire to do, because I learned that from Rob. Rob is the one that remembers people's birthdays and nicknames and their mama's names too. The next article is titled Style, Spirit, Soul. Steeped in tradition, homecoming celebrations at historically black colleges and universities reflect palpable love, pride, and excellence. As they return in full force this fall, we take a deep look at the power and passion of these uniquely stylish and undoubtedly sacred events. Major motion pictures have been centered around the historical black college and university, HBCU, homecoming, from Spike Lee's iconic 1988 School Days to the 2002 dramedy Drumline. Revered hip-hop artists such as the Notorious B.I.G. have included quotable mentions about them in their lyrics. Beyonce in 2018 created and named an epic Coachella performance based on one. It aired on Netflix in 2019. These occasions are among the rare annual events for which senior citizens, toddlers, and everybody in between enthusiastically show up and all have a great time. The HBCU homecoming experience is an international treasure. Cambridge Dictionary defines homecoming as a celebration at school or college, usually including a dance and a football game, when people who were students there at an earlier time can return to visit. However, an HBCU homecoming cannot be defined. Sure, there's a football game, but that halftime show? The real ones know that's the true highlight. And all the other elements of this week-long celebration, the dancers, brunches, fashion shows, step shows, talent shows, parades, concerts, and tailgates display an unequivocal style beyond the bounds of ordinary definition. At predominantly white institutions, PWIs, homecoming is simply about two rival football teams battling it out, explains former Wall Street analyst and Spelman College alumna Claudia Walker, author of the best-selling children's book series, The ABCs of HBCUs. At HBCUs, you go to homecoming for the people, not just the game. You are returning home to see some of the people who have made the most impact on your life. As context, the first HBCU, Cheney University, was established in 1837 in Cheney, Pennsylvania, 28 years before the 1865 abolition of slavery in the United States. Since then, HBCUs have served as a vital gathering place for our community. HBCU homecomings provide a rich experience for people of African descent, says Ronnell Miller, North Carolina Agricultural and Technical University graduate and founder of the entrepreneurial resource at HBCU Startups. There are a variety of events for all generations. It's amazing to see Black people from around the world come together for a positive cause. It is a breath of fresh air, especially during hard times such as these. North Carolina Agricultural and Technical University, or A&T as it affectionately known, has GEHO, the greatest homecoming on earth. Of course, every HBCU could arguably apply this humorous moniker to its homecoming. But Miller says GEHO has a deeper meaning. GEHO is memorable because A&T has the largest student population of any HBCU, he explains. Also, the Greensboro, North Carolina community is heavily involved with GEHO. The entire week, students, alumni, and faculty are embraced by local residents. Christopher Carthart, a Howard University graduate and co-editor of HBCU Experience, the book, a collection of essays celebrating the Black college experience, goes even further. HBCU homecoming looks more like a huge Black family reunion than the gathering of some folk who shared a similar academic experience, he says. All are welcomed. When we celebrate our homecomings, we celebrate not only our specific schools, but also our collective history. It's not lost on me that when my crew gathers at Howard's homecoming, we post up in front of Frederick Douglass Memorial Hall, one of the school's signature buildings. I take great pride in that, and the feeling is unique to the HBCU experience. HBCU homecomings are the physical reminder that we are a part of something larger than ourselves. We have responsibilities that reach beyond our own comfort and convenience. HBCU legacy students, multiple generations of the same family who attend one institution, are a definitive part of this uniqueness, especially when you factor in slavery and Reconstruction, Jim Crow, and the civil rights eras. In fact, one family, the Waynes, has had a documented 7-generation run at Grambling State University in Grambling, Louisiana. They hold the Guinness World Record for the most family members to graduate from one university. The talent that HBCUs nurture across industries is outstanding. There are just over 100 of these beloved institutions, yet they produce an impressive 80% of all Black judges, 70% of Black dentists, and 50% of Black teachers. HBCUs are also responsible for 42% of Black engineers, 47% of Black women engineers, and 40% of the Congressional Black Caucus. So, when all these folks gather at homecoming, a hefty amount of networking takes place. Your niece needs an internship. Your bestie's line sister tells you to email her resume next week. Searching for a trusted real estate attorney to help you close on a new home. Your former chemistry professor connects you to this go-to guy. And yes, all this community building takes place in between sipping from red Solo cups, dressing to the nines for every function on the itinerary, and maybe doing some swag surfing. Then there's the homecoming fashion show, which typically takes place midweek and is always a hot ticket. Producers of these shows often become campus celebrities, and the competition to model, and one of them is Fierce. It is no surprise that retail giants like Target, mega brands such as Nike, and iconic fashion labels like Ralph Lauren are tapping into the HBCU effect. The latter even released a capsule collection with Spelman and Morehouse colleges earlier this year. There was a very strong sense of fashion on campus in the 1980s at Hampton, our home by the sea, says Hampton University graduate Ruth E. Carter, who became the first Black person to receive an Oscar for costume design when she won for her work in 2018's Black Panther. She also was the costume designer for School Days. The way we dress shows a sense of pride, a sense of empowerment, a sense of self-esteem. That is something ingrained in our DNA. That's in our culture. Speaking from Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta, where she's in production of a new Marvel film, Blade, Carter adds, "The alumni who have had such wonderful experiences at their respective HBCUs return to homecoming not only to pay respect to the school, but also to pay homage to the experience. And so they're going to make sure that their gear is in order. There's history in that. When we celebrate, just like we did centuries ago, we adorn ourselves and we connect as a community with color. It's not a wonder that we're able to do this on a university level. It's not a wonder that we bring Africanism into our experience. So much of the style on display at an HBCU homecoming, from the way attendees are dressed, to the sorority stepping and strolling on the yard, to the fellowship events before the game, has roots in our deep and complex ancestry. There are clearly things that are unique to Black university and college homecomings that you don't necessarily see at PWIs," says Tanya M. Matthews, PhD, CEO of the International African American Museum in Charleston, South Carolina, which is scheduled for a January 2023 opening. There is a different way of celebrating. There's a different way of embracing. Many of those differences do indeed go back to African traditions or the African American tradition of preserving and perhaps even hiding our traditions inside of other things. African boot dancing is the tradition from which stepping originated, she explains. Today, some university communities use this practice as a rite of passage. Black folks have also used the word homecoming in many ways, Matthews continued. We use homecoming to refer to church revivals. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.